for those living with a disability, opportunities to explore sexuality are far from accessible, let alone encouraged. Institutional restrictions and social taboos have squandered any chance of sexual exploration, regarded by many as a fundamental part of being human, with the power to improve physical health and psychological well-being. A group in Darlinghurst called the School of Really Good Sex are aiming to change that, hosting sex-positive spaces for those with a disability and members of the general public to explore their sexuality in an inclusive and consensual space. Julia Karkatzel has this report.
With disability, you have to be creative. You must be. You have to get out of the box. You've got no choice. Get out of the box. My name is Peter Bunkey. I'm the director of the School of Really Good Sex. I think once they're institutionalized or they're in some form of care, then the ways of expressing their sexuality very often are restricted. So I think just with us, the same with us, that they need spaces where they're allowed to explore and learn about what they can do and what's possible. You know, you need sex-positive spaces without shame.
On Sunday afternoon in Darlinghurst, this space was welcomed by those with a disability, support workers and passionate members of the general public. The festival, aptly named Celebrating Sex and Disability, was inspired by various interactions Peter had had with those with a disability at his year-round sex-positive events. For the curator, a festival designed specifically for those with a disability only seemed like the natural next step.
I do have an interest in that area.
The ugly truth comes out at last.
And I do have a...
That was the voice of Oliver Morton Evans, a curatorial advisor of the festival and advocate for the rights of people with a disability. His frankness earned him many laughs during an activity called You Can't Ask That, a chance for members of the public to ask all those taboo questions about what it's like to have sex as a person with a disability.
Now, because of my disability, obviously, there's actually a lot more that I can achieve in my body than people give me credit for.
Oliver, like many others growing up with a physical disability, said he was not seen as a sexual being. It was only later, in his early 20s, he would discover his sexuality. Donald Turton, born with cerebral palsy, is also in the process of discovering his sexuality into his adulthood. The imaginative possibilities of foreplay provide just one way for Donald to experience sexual pleasure.
Foreplay to me is the best part of sex.
Among the festival attendees was sex worker Leo, who had come to learn about the clients he works with on a regular basis. Though under the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or NDIS, services like Leo's are not offered as an option for those with a disability.
You know, before seeing my client with Fragile X syndrome, I really had to try to study, if you like, or try to understand what the needs are, how to communicate with them.
Just because you have a disability doesn't mean that you're, I don't know, not into some kinky shit. Right, you're allowed that, and, you know, it's well within your right.
The hall was buzzing as festival goers stopped blushing and started sharing, and those with a disability enlightened sex workers about a rather vast spectrum of sexual desires. But having attracted a substantially smaller turnout than its previous year, the festival's hazy future left Peter worried. He, like others, agree the government has a role to play in supporting non-for-profit events like Celebrating Sex and Disability. He says the catch is that government intervention may impede upon the explorative and liberal nature of the festival, imposing safety regulations which reinforce a risk-averse culture, a culture that many people with a disability currently suffer greatly from.
You know, someone may get hurt, something may happen, da 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 da. What will happen if this happens? What will happen if that happens? Insurance, liability, da da da. And of course there is a place for that, but if we give too much place for it, nothing's going to happen. Okay, the rhetoric today is safe space, but actually there is no such thing as a purely 100% safe space when we're dealing with eroticism, when we're dealing with sexuality, because sexuality isn't always safe. It can't always be safe. It thrives on risk. It thrives on the unknown.
government agencies are terribly uncomfortable with sex, just like the rest of the culture is. You know, and sex has something in it that you can't always explain or justify.
The alternative is financial support from the general public, but getting them to recognise the importance of sex-positive spaces is an entirely different battle.
I think the people without disabilities are terrified of people with disabilities, very often. The society in general is terrified of it.
After witnessing the interactions between his deaf boyfriend and the general public, Nigel also found society's lack of education surrounding disability to be problematic.
As soon as people heard that he was deaf, they just back away. They wouldn't attempt because they didn't want to offend him, they didn't want to embarrass him, and they didn't want to embarrass themselves by saying or doing the wrong thing. I think it's that basic. We don't know someone with a disability, they're not of us, therefore they're different, therefore it's easier to stay with my mob than it is to cross that line. You know, the broader people, the general public, they don't have much exposure to people with a disability as humans, let alone as sexual beings. So I think the more that people with a disability can be normalised in our society, the better. And I think this kind of event is an excellent way of doing that.
Had someone walked past the festival space on the Sunday afternoon, they would have heard a soft hum of voices, not an excited noise. But the lack of numbers seemed hardly important during the last and admittedly best exercise, the cuddle puddle, where hugging, stroking and caressing was encouraged after practicing our yeses and noes in a consensual exercise. During this last hour, it was hard not to be optimistic about the power of the space and its potential for the future. For Peter, its magic was clear.
We just become more comfortable and more used to people with disabilities, and then naturally, without us having to do much, just the communication, the exposure, the being in different situations, it becomes not such a big deal. And we learn more. You know, they talk to us, we listen. Spaces like this are possible. The spaces like this have value. Where people, you know, see films, where they discuss, where they cuddle each other. I have faith, indeed, that poetic and beautiful things can happen in these spaces if we allow for them.
Director of the School of Really Good Sex, Peter Banky, ending that report by Julia Carcatzel.